morning, church. It is a great joy for me and my family to be here in this church and your fellowship, even this morning, in the capacity of bringing God's word. My name is Becky, Pastor Bembe. I'm pastoring a church called Sovereign Grace Bible Church. It is in a township called Olive and Old Bosch. Probably you know it when you go straight with this road down here, it passes somewhere there. I'm grateful, Mfundisi, for bringing me here this morning just to see the brethren as well and to appreciate what God is doing in this church as well. In our church, I'm going through the gospel according to Matthew, started from chapter 1, verse 1. And I think next week I am doing chapter number 6 from next week. So Mfundisi did not allow me to preach from Matthew. So then please turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, we will read together from verse 22 to chapter 6, verse 3. The title of the message this morning, The Family According to the Gospel. The Family According to the Gospel. I'm reading from the ESV.
Amen.
And it reads as following. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, you are not left behind. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live along, that you may live long in the land. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. I'm putting my Bible there because there is no space here. Probably Mfundi is preaching without notes, so he doesn't need it. That's why the space is limited. The Lord bless you as we listen to his word. May he be pleased to use this mouth of clay to proclaim his word. The book of Ephesians has a twofold truth in it. From the first chapter to chapter number 3, we are reminded, or we are taught, on what to believe, what our calling is. And the last three chapters are about right behaving, what our conduct should be. It is a book which clearly reveals the sovereignty of God in salvation. God standing sovereign in that distribution of salvation, if you will. God standing sovereign in the economy of redemption, whereby God chooses a people that he will save, then he saves the people and they go on to set these people in a path of righteousness. God is standing sovereign, as we see in this book. He's standing sovereign above everything else in this world. He saves the people, and he commanded the people how to live with one another, whether in the home or school or workplace. In this book, God's love is portrayed as that gracious response to the fact that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, not willing and not able to come to him in faith and repentance. Yet the Bible tells us that he loved us so much that he blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy as he is holy, that we should be holy and blameless before him. The Bible continues to say in chapter number 1, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has loved us in the beloved. He has blessed us in Christ. Ephesus as a city was a very big city, prosperous city in Asia Minor before, in the times of the Apostle Paul. This city then was an attraction to many people. Many people of different tribes, different traditions would come to this city for trade. And consequently, then there was great influence from without, great influence from every sphere of life. So it is good then that the church will be reminded, as the Apostle Paul pens this down, to remind the church that they may remember the hope and the blessing that they have in Christ Jesus. Also to remember the future awaiting them after this life. So Paul gives the church great instruction where we are. A great instruction on how the family should be in accordance to the gospel, the very same gospel that is now running through their veins, as it were. The gospel that has searched them through and through, even in the secret compartments of their hearts. Paul is convinced that God has a purpose for the family in his mission to save the world. And for that reason, then the family should understand what the will of God is. And he pens that down. He's challenging them in verse 15 to verse 17, saying, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time. Why? Because the days are evil. So what must I do? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God, or the will of the Lord is. And friends, the only way to understand the will of God in the home is to allow the gospel of God, to influence our surrounding, to influence us even in the home, to allow the gospel to help us perform our duties to one another and strengthen our relationships. That may be those families who will influence their surrounding society for the glory of God. Because we are families who have obtained the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Families who understand that as the home goes, so goes the nation. Because the foundation of the well-being of society is the home. So this morning, I want to bring you three truths which springs forth from the Christian family because of the power of the gospel. Three truths which proves that indeed, the Christian family is governed by God. Firstly, it is the wife's submission to her husband. 22 to verse 24. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body. And it is him, its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. Here we see that God actually expects the Christian wife to understand that she does no longer live, or she's no longer governed by the principles of this world or the spirit of this world, the very same spirit that is now operating in the children of disobedience. The wife is no longer governed by the principles of the world, the media, or the government, by the word, but the word of God. God wants to make sure that the church or the family understands that. Especially in this point, the wives, those who are married. If you are not married, trust me, this is good for you, because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So you can listen what God expects from a wife that is married. If you are a child, you listen because you want to see what God is expecting from your mother as we go through the wives, and then the husband, then the children as well. Because now the wife is now saved by the blood of Christ Jesus. She's no longer like a woman of the world, influenced by the world. She's no longer like her fellow women who are separated from Christ. They have no hope in this world and they are without God. But the Christian wife is different. So Paul used the word submission. He uses this word, which means to subject oneself to another person who is in authority. He says the women or the wives should submit in verse 24 in everything. The women or the wives should submit in everything. The word submit there is a word which is used by a commander in the army telling his troops, telling his soldiers how to arrange themselves as commanded. Not as they want, not as yesterday, but as they are commanded today. That is the word that is used by the Apostle Paul. And here we see then that the Christian family takes orders from a commander. And here the commander is God himself. So the work of submission is intended by God, but thereafter it is orchestrated or planned or made possible through the power of the gospel that we believe as Christians. And clearly, friends, such submission is not a matter of inferiority versus superiority, but it is a matter of obedience. It is a matter of godliness rather than oppression. So a wife captured by the grace of God submits to her own husband, the Bible says, as to the Lord. So as an expression of the fear of God, because that's what this is. As an expression of the fear of God, the wives will act under and in respect of the husband's authority, as the church does to the Lord. Which is why then, to resist this kind of a command, to resist this kind of submission from God to your husband, it is the same as resisting the word of God itself. So God then reveals to Paul that submission is actually possible and is in no way burdensome upon a woman that is saved by God. A woman like this begins to treasure and enjoy her intended position in the home. That intended position whereby she will stand by her divine given order, to understand that her submission is designed by God. And by so doing, she shows that she is cured from that curse of Eve, which is to desire her husband's position in the home. But also, not to listen to those snakes who want to tempt her into sin. It is because of the gospel that the wife begins to understand the will of God. That there is a head in the home, just as there is a head in the church, which the church must bow to. The wife begins to understand that within the parameters of the Christian family, there is order. And when the gospel is believed, then the gospel is able to sprinkle that spiritual understanding of this fact in the heart of the woman to submit as to the Lord. How do we submit as to the Lord? We arrange ourselves under His divine command. That is the only way to submit to God. We arrange ourselves under His divine command. We make sure that whatever God says, we do. We don't live according to our old way of life, based on human viewpoints. No, but now we live according to God's word. If you will, look at what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. The Apostle Peter there reveals to us what kind of women that God expects. These are godly women. These are wise women. Women who do not do according to the will, but women who organize themselves and build their home in a wise way. He says in verse 5 and verse 6, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves." How did they do that? "By submitting to their own husbands. Esther obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and you do not fear anything that is frightening." That is what Peter says. The women adorn themselves by submitting themselves to their own husband. Then of course, church, this is not a struggle-free practice or exercise. That is why we need the power of the Spirit working in our lives. We need the gospel as well to help us in this journey as we purpose to get to our final destination. So ladies, remember Christ's own submission. This is a call to you to remember Christ's own submission to the will of His Father. Remember the night when He was betrayed. He submitted Himself to the will of God, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." Remember that though he was in a form of God, but He did not take that as something to grasp. He didn't take that as something that He deserved to show in this world that He is equal to God. But what does the Bible say? He says He submitted Himself, He humbled Himself, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Remember the submission of Jesus Christ. And for submitting Himself in that way, the Bible tells us that therefore God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, on earth, under the earth, even knees that are not be seen today, could be seen today. They bow in the name of Jesus. So the act of submission, friends, also reminds the wife that God never intended for her to abandon her passion and delight for her husband. I wish I could say more on that. There must be tender thoughts for your husband. Loving thoughts, tender behavior, self-control, making sure that there is a living human bond, if you will, in accordance to the scripture between the two of you. Perhaps you are here thinking that something called women's rights has freed you from that God-given responsibility that I'm talking about. I will ask you to think again. Amen. Actually, friends, you need to allow the power of the gospel to transform you to the image of the Son of God. You need to allow the power of the gospel to lead you to act voluntarily in following the principles and the precepts of God, displaying that fruit of your salvation. That you may be a supportive helper in the home, not a submissive person to sin. The question is, friends, would you be that sweetener of that bitter marriage? Perhaps. Will you be that vessel which God is able to use to soften that hard-hearted husband of yours? Will you allow the gospel to continue to mold you and shape you to the image of His Son, leading you away from the ways of this world, leading you away from the temptation to show disrespect and contempt? Will you allow the gospel? Because that is what the gospel does. It gives us godly women. Godly women who wants to see more godly women in the world. Godly women who wants to train women in the church, as the book of Titus tells us. That there may be more godly women in the church. That the family may grow. They may grow like a tree, then spread forth their wings. That the world may see the works of God and the light that is shining through this family of God. Is that you, my friend? My mother, my sister, at least there's one mom I can say my mother, perhaps. My sisters, is that you? Because to have this family according to the gospel, you need to hold fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to hold fast to the truth that is preached in His pulpit week in and week out. Because only the gospel of Jesus Christ re-establishes the role of the wife in the family. Only the gospel has the power to suck out from the woman that venom of the serpent, the deception, the gossip, and that impossible desire to rule over her husband. The gospel brings into realization that you do not submit to your husband because he's a rich man. You do not submit to your husband because he is handsome or because he's a great man out there. But because of the fear and the reverence for God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Are you a wise woman? But of course, a happy home, a biblical family is not only built on the wife's submission. Secondly, we consider the husband's love for his wife. The husband's love for his wife. It says here in verses 25 to 33, "Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. "However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her own husband." I'm afraid, friends, there are many men who think that once they bring food or money in the home, that's all they need to do. I'm afraid, friends, that such people, they think that's all that the women want. I'm afraid that there are men who are praying right now, "Lord, teach her submission." And she's praying, "Lord, teach him to love." Friends, as a husband, you are commanded by God to love your wife, to be considerate as you live with her, to love her sacrificially. That is what this word
says this is the kind of love. This is not another kind of love that the Greek word may bring, paleo and all those other words. This is agapio. Sacrificial love. The Bible doesn't say you must be a police policing her to see how she submits to you. It says love your wife. Not to keep track on her submission. You need to love your wife. Because submission is not your idea, my friend. Submission is God's idea, not your idea, not your own invention, but God's idea. You need to give her love, even if there is nothing given to you in return. I hope you heard that.
Amen.
The Bible does not say, put it upon you, see to it that your woman or your wife submit to you. It says, love your wife. And Paul then uses Christ and the church as an example. He says in verse 25, Christ sacrificed his life for her bride, for his bride, the church. Christ sacrificed his life. Christ left his glory above. He left his glorious throne and the heavenly splendors. He left his dear Father from above. And for religion, while the Bible says he was made lower than the angels, he came down here in this sin stinking world to breathe this dusty air and wind of this world, sinful air, walking the dusty streets of Jerusalem for the sake of giving his life for his bride. Showing us or displaying the greatest love through his death on that cross. The greatest love to a bride that was sinful, an imperfect bride. Not a perfect one, imperfect bride. Yet he gave his life. So he saw his church deserving of love while they were still stinking with sin, sinking in that pool of iniquity, if you will. But he still saw them as a people deserving love. So the husband must love his own wife and give his all to the marriage. The husband must never compare his wife to another woman. Just as Christ does not compare his church to the church of the devil. Love your wife. Paul says that the husband needs to cherish the wife in verse 29. You need to speak to her with tender words. Speak to her like the greatest example in scripture, Solomon. Listen to what Solomon says in chapter number 6, verse 6 and 7, in the Songs of Songs. Your teeth are like a flock of ewes that have come up from the washing. All of them bear twins. Not one among them has lost its young. Your cheeks are like halves of pomegranates behind your veils.
Wow.
Songs of Songs, chapter number 4, verse 3. He's not done. He is not done. Your lips are like a scarlet trend, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of pomegranates behind your veils. Say beautiful words to your wife. Ask mine, I do. But be careful, my friend. I remember a friend of mine said to his wife, my oros. Not long ago. And I can tell you, the very same response that you have, that's what the wife has. But I can tell you, friends, the man was innocent. And I agree with him. That is his oros. The man was thinking of the drink because he loves oros. The wife is thinking of that man who advertised the oros. The man is talking about the drink, my oros. I want to drink and squeeze my oros. There's nothing wrong with that. But be careful how you use those words. But cherish your wife. The message is clear, friends. Love your wife and understand that a woman needs a man who will sacrifice all for her. Of course, not in a silly way, Not in a foolish way like Samson. You remember Samson?
Yeah.
I think he loved too far. The Bible doesn't allow you to love too far.
Yeah.
Love that will bring sin in the house. But love your wife. The woman wants a man who will die for her, as it were. A man who will hold fast to the gospel of God. A man who will hold fast to the word of God as his training manual on how to love his wife. Verse 25 says, Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. There we see the deepest love. We see that the deepest love is defined by sacrifice and commitment, my friend. Write that in your heart. The deepest love is defined by sacrifice and commitment. It is not defined by how much lobola you have paid. Every person can pay a lobola, my friend. They can even pay more than you. But not everyone will love his wife the way the scripture says love your wife. Not everyone will sacrifice all for his wife and the family. Not every man will leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. Not every man will leave his bad habits and bad friends and become a friend to his own wife. But only the gospel-centered man will do that. A man rooted and grounded in love. Because Christ dwells in his heart through faith.
Amen.
Such husband does no longer live in the passions of his heart, carrying the desire of the body. This husband is a husband who understands that love should surpass the wife's weakness. Even in the home. But having said that, my friends, I can see the women are really hopeful now. I need to be clear to the ladies in the house, because I know that some of you are looking for a perfect husband. I have bad news for you. Really bad news for you. There is only one perfect husband. A man without mistake. And he ascended unto heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of God, interceding for my friends right now. Interceding for the men in this auditorium. So if you have come here looking for a perfect husband, we have come to a wrong place. This is not where you get a perfect husband. You need to die and ascend unto heaven of resurrection. Then you will find a perfect husband. But that also is not an excuse to the men in the house to be loveless husbands. Not an excuse. You cannot be a loveless husband just because the perfect husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be that source of a godly family. You will love your wife. You will protect your wife, because the gospel has squeezed out of you that curse of Adam, who allowed his wife Eve to be tempted by the devil. What did he do? The only thing he could do was to blame her for the sin before God. It is the wife that you gave me. My brother, where were you? Where were you, my friends? Where were you to protect your wife? Is she not given unto you to protect, to guide, and to hold? Where were you? Don't tell me it was the devil. It was you, my friend. You left your post, as it were. Where were you? Blaming her for the mess. Oh, perhaps I forgot. I know, where were you? I think I know where were you, my friend.
Amen.
Remember, you are married to a TV remote control because you love to control. That's where we were, changing channels. Verse 27 says, Christ has done so much that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So through his consecrating sacrifice of the cross, Christ, now we are told, he has brought the church and present her blameless, without spot before God, and God is his Father. Christ has done so much to present his bride perfect before God. I'm not saying that is the correct application, but perhaps I should say to you, you need to make your wife acceptable before her in-laws. It is your duty to make your wife acceptable. Protect her against your protective mother and your gossiping sisters. It is your duty to protect your wife. Just a dot. If you like, you can take it. Verse 28 says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So you need to care for your wife. You need to treat her with dignity. Listen to verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. So you think you need to nurture your wife, to encourage her. The word there, actually, that verb, cherish, it actually means to bring her to maturity. Not that the wife is not mature, humanly speaking, but it is your duty to bring her to maturity. Scriptural maturity. It is given to Adam, to man, to be the perfect priest in the home, also the king and the prophet of the house. Amen. To nature, cherish your wife. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Remember how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measures, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch like me and you His treasure. Remember that. Verse 30 and 32, we see there that the Christian husband must understand that his wife and the family actually at large is the church. Treat her like you're treating the church of Jesus Christ, the blood-washed church. Because the family is that visible organization, the light of society, if you will. Just as the church is the light of the world, the family is the light of society. So your love and care for your wife symbolizes Christ and the church, symbolizes that intimate relationship between the two. It shows that God has loved us so much that we who were so far from Him, He brought in His Son that He will take us from that far, bring us to Him by pulling His Son also from the divine place of heaven, brought Him into life, that we may now concentrate unto Him, that we may look at sin and look at His Son and then cherish the sin, because cherishing that Son of God, because the Son of God now looks more precious than the sin I used to live in. God has made that for you. Will you not make that for your wife as well? Nurturing her, bringing her up. Having said that, I must also mention that the husband is not only responsible to love his wife, but also to exercise his godly authority over his children. It is the father's duty to build up his children. Look at verse 4 of chapter number 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction to the Lord. The father must be the one to encourage his children, to express a tender heart towards his children, to teach them God's way, bring them up in discipline, instructing them right, putting them in a bow, as it were, and pointing them to that purposed future that is set before them, and let them go according to the will of God. Point them to the right direction. Put them in that bow, as it were, and shoot them to a perfect direction. That is the husband. Is that you, my friend? Has the gospel transformed your monstrous heart to a sweetheart? Are we living with your wife in the fear of God? Do you look at the love of Christ for you? Do you thank Him for the family that He has given to you? Because the Bible tells me that in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, that he who has found a wife has found a good thing. You need to sacrifice everything for your wife. Sacrificial love. Care for her. Protect her. Provide for her. Deadly. the children's obedience to their parents. This is the perfect family. There's a wife, there's a husband, there's also children. If you don't have children, because God has not yet given, but God willingly, a family is wife, husband, children. That is not an order, but I'm just giving you accordance to what we see before us. So we look at the children's obedience to their parents. It says in chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And I think, friend, the best way to get this message across to the children, when I'm saying children, I'm not talking about Sunday school, I'm talking about to the youth and the young adult as well, their children. And the perfect example is the Lord Jesus Christ. How Christ acted as a teenager. Perhaps that will also open then our understanding on how to obey our own parents. Because I'm convinced that the Bible is not interested in political correctness. It is not interested. The children are called to obey, to listen to their parents, to have no contrary influence in their lives and decision making, especially when they are under the care and the government of their parents. Luke chapter 2 verse 51 says, "And he," that is Jesus Christ, "he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive," please read, "he was submissive to them," to his parents. "And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart." The mother treasured the fact that the Lord, the King of glory, the governor of history, submit himself, obey his parents. The word "the submissive" means to subject oneself, like I was saying. It has the same idea as obedience, which means to put yourself in an inferior position. Putting yourself in an inferior position. So that is what the Lord Jesus Christ said, did. He subjected himself to his parents. So church, indeed, we need children who look unto Jesus and say, "Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my perfect example. You are the one that I love. You are the source of my joy. You are the giver of life, the Prince of Peace." So with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my life, I give you the praise through obeying my parents. Paul writes this letter with children in mind, of course. That is why I address children. So children must be in the church.
Amen.
Children must be in the church. So he writes this because he's got children in his mind. He assumed that these children will be among the parents as this letter is read, because they are church attendees as well. They are following in their parents' footsteps. They love the Lord. They have received the gospel of truth. They are not children belonging in the street and in the shippings. They are not children who remains behind to play PlayStation and Xbox while the children, while the parents are in the church. These are children washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and consequently they are worshippers of God with their parents. They honor their parents. They uphold them in high esteem. These are the kinds of children that the Lord wants to see in the church. Listen to Proverbs 13 verse 1. It says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer, a foolish one, does not listen to rebuke." So what we are told here is that the gospel motivates obedience. The gospel also makes clear that God cares about the future of the children as well. The gospel helps us to have a right spirit towards our parents, not to be bitter against them as they rebuke us not to be reluctant to follow their instruction, because God says, obey your parents. So God is concerned about your attitude, my friends. He's concerned about the children's attitudes. So, as an advice, do not be like the young man of Matthew chapter number 21. He promised to go and work in his father's vineyard, but he never did. Don't be like that young man. Because obedient children have a promise. They do have a promise from God. Verse number 3, chapter number 6. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Of course, it is in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, where the apostle's mind is now set at the moment. There where it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you. So the honor of the father and the mother is a commandment from God. Why? That your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. So it is implied then here that the Christian home has to have obedient children. Children looking forward to a brighter future because of their obedience to their parents. Children who understand that this is God's command, this is God's expectation, not parents' preference. Children who understand that their future is not in their hands. Today we have children or young people who think their future is in their hands, but their future is the hand of God. Amen. It is God who gives the future here in this verse. It is God who sets you in the land that you are today. And for you to get there, you will only get there by obeying your parents. So young man, young woman, regardless of the challenges around you, regardless of the peer pressure that you may suffer, regardless of the bad examples at school, at work, or anywhere you are, regardless of the road that is set before you by your friends, the road which seems to be right in the eyes of many, regardless of the issues of life that sometimes seem to come and crumble upon you, and regardless of how disrespectful your parents are in the society, for you to have a bright future, the Bible says, honor your parents, obey them, your parents in the Lord. And verse number 1, chapter 6 tells us the reason as well. Not that it may only be good to you, that is good, but it also says because it's just good. It is right. That's what the Bible says. It is right before God. So I will say, remember your fellow friends of the past, especially Isaac. If you read Genesis chapter number 22, the Bible there speaks of Isaac, that young man of around 8 years of age. We are told there that he obeyed his father Abraham. He walked side by side with him, carrying his own wood to a place of sacrifice, going up the mountain with his father, carrying his own wood upon himself. Verse number 3 of that chapter tells us that he woke up early in the morning, saddled upon his donkey as well, to go to a place where his father was going to worship. Are you following your parents' footsteps? Are you waking up day by day to go in a place of worship with them? Isaac put that upon him himself. And he sacrificed, my friend. The Bible, they tell us that they were donkeys. But Isaac carried his wood. Just as Jesus Christ carried his own wood up the mountain, up that road of Calvary. He didn't lay it upon the donkeys, Isaac. No, he carried himself to please his parents, but also to worship God. Amen. So the question is, my friend, are you habitually living in obedience to your parents? Because if not so, you need to make that commitment today. You need to repent, my friend, from that disobedience. You need to begin that, not today, now. Because it is the will of God for you to honor your parents. The world out there is in need of obedient children. The church is in desperate need of obedient children. Children who will desire to serve God day and night, as it were. Children who will be like Samuel. Samuel served in the Lord with the prophet Eli. We need children like that. Children whose lives is changed by the power of the gospel. Because that is what the gospel produces. It produces children or youth with purpose. Children following godly principle and not inclining to follow their own strong passions. Children who knows that regardless of how old they are still children of somebody. Is that you, my friend? Children transformed by the renewing of the mind. Children who will take care of their parents in the future. Not children who leave their parents behind and rush to other things. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ did. He cared for his mother even at the point of his death, the death of the cross. John chapter number 19 verse 26 and 27 says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple whom he loved, "Behold your mother." And the Bible tells us that from there onwards, from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus, at the point of death, prepared a future, earthly future for his own mother. Is that the attitude that you have? Or you just want to rush to the university, rush to buy your own car, rush out to wherever your heart tells you. Can't use young too, man, in my language. If that's the case, my friend, then if this is you, a child who prepare future for his parents, so do not then in any way try to be like the children of the world, children who are blinded by sin, militant youth of this day, disrespectful youth towards their parents and elderly people. Why? Because you are different. You are not better, but different. What is the difference? You are transformed by the power of the gospel. So let me close in this way. I think we all agree that right behavior is not always missing. No. Right behavior for the wife, for the husband, for the children is not always missing. That's not the point. But right behavior, in most cases, it is practiced far from where it is needed most. Sorry. It is practiced far from where it is where it matters most. If you, how many people out there who are called power couples? Why are they called power couples? They look good on TV. They act well before people. They love, kiss, and hold hands before people. Sooner or later, they are divorced. So right behavior is not actually missing. That is the right behavior, but it is applied in the wrong place. It is applied as an eye service, so that the world may see. Oh, my friends, can we apply the right attitude in the home? Right attitude. Practice right behavior in the home. Not aim to please men. Aim to please your husband. Aim to please your wife. Aim to please your parents. And the Lord will be happy with you. Amen. How many children out there are regarded as good children until they kill their own parents? Until they steal money from them? How many? Because these truths are not taught right. And of course the world has answers. They have Dr. Phil. But friends, that doesn't work, does it? We have the real answer. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus that is running through our veins, as it were. As wives, husbands, and children. Because only the gospel motivates true humility and true love in the home. Only the gospel motivates and teach obedience that is beyond human ability. So church, here's my challenge. Now that you have heard this truth, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to continue in rebellion? Or are you going to cling to the message of the cross that is preached here even this morning? Are you going to allow God to work in you like a puppet master pulling strings behind that second board? God pointing you to the right direction, working behind the scene where people don't see. Are you going to allow the Lord, through the power of the gospel, to channel you to a right position in the home? Or we are going to continue as a submarine Christian. A Christian who sinks deep in sin from Monday to Saturday, sneak up on Sunday, carry his own dirty, dusty Bible to come here and sing glory to the Lord, amazing grace, how sweet thy sound. What are you going to do? The family, according to the gospel, understand that it is God's will for the wife to submit to her husband. It is God's will for the husband to love his wife. It is God's will for the children to obey their parents, not the government, not the media. And if this morning you are a wife living in disobedience and dishonor, disrespect of your husband, if this morning you are a husband who does not love and care and provide for the wife and the family, if you are a child, a young adult, a youth in disrespect, dishonor, disobedient to your parents, if you are here this morning, you need Christ, my friends. You need to repent from your sin. You need to repent in dust and ashes, as it were. You need to show great remorse in what you have done or what you are continuing to do. You need to hold fast to the word of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be a submissive wife. Be a loving husband. Be an obedient child, because that is who we are according to the gospel. May the good Lord bless us.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you even this morning for giving me the opportunity to preach your word. May it work within our hearts. Oh Lord, may you raise good wives, but above good, excellent wives, above excellent, raise godly wives, raise loving, caring, providing husbands. Oh Lord, raise obedient children, because it is the right thing to do. We ask all this because we know it is possible through the power of the gospel. Lord, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.